All right, I think it's about that time. What's happening? It is Nazzy from the Pulse of New Hampshire. It is time to smile, and how can you not smile when this next guy joins us? It is Mr. Tom Raffio, the longest-running consecutive radio host on the Pulse of New Hampshire with Northeast Delta Dental Radio. How many years, Tom? How many years have we been doing
13, this? A lucky 13.
It is a lucky 13.
And you can find every single show. I've never mailed it in, Nazzy. It's never been repeat. You go on anydelta.com, hit the radio section, and you can hear the original shows, which I actually co-hosted with Jack Heath, who's on the Pulse from 9 to 12 every day. So, in any event, Jack gave me my start in radio. So if dental insurance doesn't work out, I maybe can work with you.
Why not? You could always be second fiddle to Jack Heath. That's amazing. All right, we've got a wonderful subject today. Why don't you go ahead and introduce our guest for today?
Sure. So with me this weekend is Dr. Silvio Dupuy, who, in the spirit of transparency, when I moved up to New Hampshire in 1995. There were two gentlemen in particular, Silvio Dupuy, Dr. Silvio Dupuy, and General Bob Dastin, who took me by the hand. I was much younger then. They were too, I guess. and basically introduced me to the 200 people from Nashua to Concord that I needed to know in New Hampshire. And right away, I knew this was the place to me. I thought originally when I moved up from Massachusetts to New Hampshire, this would be like a five-year proposition, and I'd go back to Massachusetts. But once I saw how you could connect with people and make a huge difference, and I really thank Silvio in particular, but also Bob Dastin for, acquainting me with how things get done in New Hampshire, which is by meeting with people, by talking with them, getting to know them, and by doing. And to this day, that's been my motto because, for example, veterans, dental care, 9 times out of 10, a veteran can't get served at the VA, not because of the people at the VA, but because of congressional guidelines. So rather than worry about that, although our congressional delegation is very good about this and hopefully we'll address it, we've set up a network of dentists who have served our country. Now we serve veterans who have oral health needs. So Silvio taught me that. He also taught me give until it hurts. So whatever. So Sil, thank you for joining me this weekend. And as you know, you're not just my mentor, but you're a great friend. But I know that there's probably 500 executives out there that consider you, their mainstay mentor. So thank you for joining me this weekend.
Thank you. I'm really glad to be here. Once in a while now, I'll go to a meeting and someone will be sitting next to someone else and give him a nudge and say, see, I told you he was still alive. So it's nice to be on the air.
No, it's great. And there is, Silvio is the salt of the universe. So I think, though, I love talking about your history. I mean, you've been the mayor, you've been the president of a hospital, you've been the executive director of a law firm. You've been an assistant to a college president, just to name a few things you've done in your career. So tell us that background and why you think that that's made you sort of a renaissance leader because you had all these experiences.
I think probably the first thing you need to know is that you don't know everything and that your success doesn't come through your activity, but it comes through your ability to get people to work with you. And when I think about leadership, I don't think about being out front with the big flag. I think about being in the middle of the circle with my employees and staff and the people that I care about. And I think a senior executive, his greatest skill is knowing the kind of people that he should and wants to surround himself with. And I always say that everyone that I hire should aspire to become the president or the chairman or the chief executive officer, because if they've got that in their heart and their soul and their mind, they're going to work in a very different way than if it's just a job. And basically what it comes down to, it's all about communication, about letting everybody in the organization know what I used to say at McLean, the most important person is a person who answers the telephone. And the connection that she makes with the client and what she says to the client. And it's I used to say then it was about pink slips. It's about making sure that your attorney returns those telephone calls, because that's the reputation of the firm. So our notion, my notion has always been that every single person in the organization knows and has to know what his job is, but he has to know and she has to know how that relates to the success of the organization. So you don't have to know it. You have to be smart enough to get the people into the organization who know it. And they talk about, you know, when you go into an organization, it's kind of chaos. There's chaos when you come in. You get people lined up in the same direction. But until they enroll and say, I accept you and I accept this organization as a leadership organization, then nothing happens. So that to me is what leadership is all about. It's knowing what you don't know and finding the people that do know and get them to work with you.
Well said. And of course, that's a great description of the Baldrige Performance Excellence Framework, which we write about in the book, Prepare for Crisis, Plan to Thrive, you know, setting the foundation for the company. And what you described, huge believer in. The biggest asset we have is the fact that we answer the phones quickly with personable human beings that know that we're talking about. So the book, Prepare for Crisis, Plan to Thrive, the inside story of how Delta Dental did it, you can get that at Gibson's in Concord, as well as the Bookery in Manchester. And those are the two preferred ways we would like you to buy the book. All funds will go to a foundation to spread oral health to the underserved populations, including veterans. So any profits we make, we're pouring back into the community, which is another role model style of my guest, Dr. Dupuy. I did want to mention, of course, amongst your other various experiences, you've been the commissioner of the Department of Insurance. And without your leadership, there would not have been a rebirth of the Palace Theater. And of course, you being instrumental in hiring Peter Ramsey, the point you were just making was key. So thank you for all you've done, for New Hampshire. So we've known each other, as mentioned, since 1995. You formerly held the record for picking my pocket the quickest 5 minutes for the Palace Theater, broken only by Justice Broderick, who was on my show last week when he was asking for funds to promote the mental health awareness change direction .org. So you were extremely helpful to me in this book. You got a very early rough draft. You were kind enough to show me different places where we needed to beef it up. But also towards the end, when it appeared the pandemic was not going to end and we just couldn't let it end like that, we basically, with your help, designed the final chapter, What If It's Not Over, and really putting together principles for a future crisis, or if the current crisis continues. The current crisis is biological. A lot of people, and I mentioned this in the book, a lot of people believe that the next major crisis is going to be some sort of a cybersecurity crisis. So together we developed the principles of communication, setting the foundation, following the servant leadership model, so that we're prepared for the next crisis. But I often get this question, which is, obviously Delta Dental is considered a fairly large company in New Hampshire, but if I read the book and I'm the owner of a dry cleaning service or any company of between 5 and 15 people, would the principles still work for a much smaller employer?
I think they do, because they're fundamental to any kind of success. And I remember reading a book many years ago, and I've forgotten the author, but it said, dig your well before you need it. And it talked about their general organizational principles, whether you're 5 or 5,000, listening to your clients, responding to your clients, understanding that your employees are clients, and identifying the fact that what do you do, what is your response, and that there isn't a response. There are a multitude of responses, and probably the most important thing as I read through is the idea of flexibility, is you have to be able to move, and you have to be able to move quickly. And you've got a well-informed organization, a well-informed board, and an organization that understands its mission and what it's supposed to do and what it's supposed to get done. They say you can't turn a battleship on a dime. Well, you can't turn the organization on a dime, but you can turn much more quickly when you have a plan. If you don't have a plan, you can't vary the plan because there's no plan in the beginning. What I find in the book is there is a plan, there is a structure, there is organization, there is process, but there's also flexibility that we don't keep going blindly down the same alley because that's what someone said. We have to live within the circumstances that we find ourselves and say, hey, let's take a pause here. Let's take a look. Is that doing what we thought it was going to do? And if it's not, then you have to set aside pride sometimes and a lot of other issues and say, this is the right way to go. And my organization trusts me and they trust the direction that I've given them in the past, so they'll trust me going forward.
And that trust is so critical to the board management trust, but also employee, senior leadership trust. We literally have no turnover. All of our positions are filled. Most other industries, almost every sector has open positions, you know, a lot of turnover. But we found that when employees understand and trust leadership and then they trust the board, they'll stick with us. During the pandemic for a while when no one was going to the dentist, roughly between March 16th and May 11th, we obviously had to furlough a few people, but they all stuck with us and all but two, you know, came back. And I came back to the point that you made, you know, on trust. So Nazzy,
yes, sir.
What did you think of Dr. Dupuy's esteemed career, all these different experiences, Department of Insurance Commissioner, the mayor,
this man
led a law firm, deal, you know, basically shepherding cats there, head of a hospital.
Well, all I can think of is what a resume. A resume. I mean, that must be 7 or 8 pages long. Just and everything is so meaningful and wonderful, too.
Well, if you want to eat a little humble pie, is when your wife tells your children, your father's not a bad guy. He just can't seem to hold a steady job.
I love it. All right, gentlemen, let's take a quick break and we'll come back next. More Northeast Delta Dental Radio on the Pulse of New Hampshire.
Thank you.
All right, welcome back. It is Nazzy from the Pulse of New Hampshire. Tom Rapio, the CEO of Northeast Delta Dental, of course, the longest running radio host on the Pulse of New Hampshire with Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Wonderful guest today, Tom. Dr. Silvio is amazing. And his resume, it's inspiring. You know what I mean? Just the wonderful things that he's done.
Yeah, Sil was way ahead of his time because, of course, you know, most millennials already have probably more jobs, you know, that I've held in my career. But Silvio was way ahead of his time, you know, 4 or 5 years at these different organizations, making a huge impact. You know, when Silvio was the Department of Insurance Commissioner, I learned so much then. You may not even remember Silvio, but we had, you know, quite a few meetings to discuss, you know, the governance of the company, which ultimately was changed. And without that change, I don't think we would be as nimble as you just described, because as you said, we have this great foundation, but we also have the ability to be agile and nimble. And that is candidly one of the secret sauces of the company is this board management alliance. But also the fact that we can pivot. So, for example, simple example of that, in order to keep the dentist whole, there is a policy in place that when you get a crown, most people get crowns, it takes 2 visits. The insurance company pays on the second visit when it's completed. So we said, you know what? Dentists aren't seeing patients. There are many of these crowns in progress, let's just pay them now, you know, so that they had the cash flow. We didn't worry about, you know, if the crown wasn't going to be done, you know, 2 months later. So that type of nimbleness it happens though when you have the trust. So that's a great way of putting it. So as you look at this, again, it's prepare for crisis, plan to thrive, and Silvio was big help to me being one of the early readers and really shaped up the book. The first section takes you through the foundation of the company. We had basically literally for 10 years had planned for a pandemic. So we had built the reserves to the point where we could easily give back, not easily, but we could give back $27 million to the community during 2020 without worrying about how whether Northeast Delta Dental would thrive. And it was done very logically, kept our employees safe. Once we knew they were safe and working from home, we said, well, dentists need to have some cash flow. So between March 16th and May 11th, we gave them $7 million because we weren't seeing any patients yet. Then we said, okay, dentists are back up and running. But if employers are dropping their dental insurance because they can't afford it, what's the point? Because then their employees won't be going to the dentist. So we gave them a premium holiday, which amounted to close to $19 million. And then we realized, oh my God, if we do a premium holiday and brokers get paid on the basis of percentage of premium, then our brokers who are small employers, they won't get paid. So we paid them as if they were, as if we collected the premium. So that was $700,000. And then in early March, we had given out $500,000 to various nonprofits. So we called them all up and said, you know what, the pandemic's hit, keep the money, use it in any way you can to thrive during the pandemic. So that was $500,000. And then little subtle things, Silvio. So as you know, since you're in the field, when someone gets laid off, or retires, they go on something called COBRA or can go on COBRA for extended coverage. Well, we identified all of the people that had been laid off by the different employers. We have a subsidiary that handles COBRA processing. We end up giving a COBRA recipients premium relief so they continue there. So it was all this kind of trickle down. And then, of course, the point you made about educating and communicating. I knew dentists understood how to do infection control, but I wasn't sure that the body politic, that people would understand that it was still really safe to go to the dentist. So all sorts of op-eds and videos and everything else. So it's all kind of a logical approach. And it really comes back to what you said, Silvio, that you have to have that, that foundation so you can do that, those actions and that pivoting.
My sense of it when I listen to you describe it is that you couldn't stop, but as you were moving forward, you needed to continue to reinvent the organization and deal with one issue at a time. It wasn't really a master plan. You took circumstances as they arrived and said, in this instance, this is what we're going to decide, this is what we're going to do. But that only happened because those reserves were there. If the organization and if the board had not had the foresight, and I'm sure there were many people that say, what are you doing with that kind of reserve? You should distribute that, you should do this, or you should do that. I think that your management style allowed you to think about crisis and to say, if something does occur, we will have a place to go, we will have a place to fall back on. But the words I hear are trust, credibility, flexibility. And you asked me before, is that, does that work for any organization? Any organization that's going to be successful is going to have that on its chart. That's going to be at the top of the, what are the values of the organization? And when I read the book and I read through it, I've read it a couple times and pick a chapter, is that it has continuity, it has credibility, and you don't have to read it like a novel. You can pick a specific chapter and get some gems and get some ideas and get some information from that. But it always comes back to, and I think the other thing that keeps striking me is that you didn't want to survive. You didn't talk about survival. It isn't about surviving and saying, let's see what we can do to keep going. It's what can we do to thrive in this environment? Because the needs of your patients are not going to go away. They're going to become more acute because the care has to be delayed. And that care will be acute when it has to be delivered. Your dentists, again, took a big hit, but they trusted you. And when it was time for them to trust you and for you to come through for them, the organization did exactly that. So I think the success is not only an immediate success, but you've laid a foundation for a very successful future. Again, built on trust and built on credibility and saying, hey, we know these people and we can work with them.
And it's the whole community. It's employers who trusted us. They kept the dental when we did the premium relief. A lot of other companies with other carriers, you know, the dental was dropped. But they knew the importance of all these years of promoting the importance of population health, and that you can't have good overall health without good oral health. And you and I, Sylvia, always talk about the above the neck health. You're a big believer in vision and oral health. We had to continue to keep that theme, that vision, that yes, to some extent, dental could be viewed as discretionary, but it's really not. And so once the governor's task force that we work with allowed us to get people back in on May 11th, people flocked back to the dentist. Our statistics from May 11th on through the end of 2021 were amazing. It's as if that there was no pandemic. And I think part of that, again, was the trust part of it at the level of the individual subscriber or families, you know, that go to the dentist. And some of that was, you know, the op-eds. So Silvio, when you think of Delta Dental and you think of, you know, New Hampshire, I mean, don't you love where we live and the fact that, you know, whether it's you rejuvenating the Palace Theater and so many other initiatives, the, you know, expansion of CMC, that why would anybody live any place else but New Hampshire, Silvio?
I don't know. I lived in Chicago and I couldn't wait to get home. And I can remember seeing some of my fellow students with a map saying, well, I might try Kentucky or I might try Ohio and I might try. In the back of my mind, I couldn't wait to get on that train to get back to good old Manchester, New Hampshire. And I said, if I can't make it in my own hometown, can't make it in my own state, where am I going to make it? And I remember when I worked at Catholic Medical Center as CEO, I would say, Manchester, New Hampshire is 50 miles from everything. You go to Boston, you go hiking, you go antiquing, you go skiing, you go to the ocean, you get on a plane for the weekend and go to New York City and see a play and come back to your nice, quiet New Hampshire countryside. So it isn't exactly where you are, it's the accent you have. And I think Manchester and New Hampshire are the perfect place from which to be able to move on to a lot of other things, but always come back. And that's why New Hampshire, I think, is so special. And I look at it and say, I'm not sure how I became Commissioner of Health and Human Services, but if I'd been in New York, probably it never would have happened. You know, an optometrist practicing in a small practice in Manchester would not have been considered for that kind of job. But in New Hampshire, you got a chance to meet the governor and you got a chance to meet fellow practitioners. And at that time, I was working in a job where, as president of Catholic Medical Center, that opened up a lot of venues, and that gave you the kind of visibility that you had. But I have to say that in every job that I've had, it hasn't been about me sitting there. It's been about ability to connect with people. And I felt many times when I sat at my office at Health and Human Services, I wasn't doing anything. I needed to be out in the field to visit and visiting in Thornton and visiting in Nashua and in other places. And again, the idea of pulling people together, setting clear objectives, and then working like crazy to make them happen.
Exactly. And that's almost a great summary of the book, Prepare for Crisis, Plan to Thrive. You can get it at Gibson's and the Bookery. And Nazi, we didn't even, with Silvio was so accomplished, we didn't even mention that he was the Commissioner of Health and Human Services, in addition to being the Commissioner of Insurance. So I'm honored that Silvio calls me one of his friends. And the other part about New Hampshire is that you can make an impact. Once I moved up here and saw that, it's like I'm never going back, because, you know, maybe, Delta Mass, where I came from, is a much bigger company, but you don't make nearly the impact, let's say, what we've done with veterans. And I think the story of Prepare for Crisis, Plan to Thrive weaves in many, many people, you know, whether it's, you know, how we got the running community back and kept everybody well. So it's all in there. And again, any profits that we make from the book will be poured back into the community in true Silvio style, as we use any profits for underserved populations related to oral health, particularly veterans, but others. So thank you, Dr. Dupuis, for intersecting in my life. God was good to me on that one.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for this opportunity. It's always wonderful to be with all of you.
Excellent. Listen, we will see you next week on Northeast Delta Dental Radio on the Pulse of New Hampshire.